Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying You Are Significant, Know Who You Are in Christ, Part 3, based on the book Your Identity in Christ by Neil T. Anderson. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 21. Christians are free to approach God. After 2 years in the seventh grade and about to begin a second year in the eighth grade, I received a full academic scholarship to Groton School, a private boarding school. It literally changed my life's course. It began to form my life's objective, to live a life of great significance. I had obtained a great prize. I then got a great job with a successful corporation, Wang Laboratories. There was much international business travel. I was enjoying much career success. However, that experience is not impacting world history. All the people I met, all the things I learned, all the pages of those chapters have no real lasting impact. Not really. I've obtained a far better prize. What is it? An all-expense paid trip to heaven, a private audience with God, a visit with the Creator of the universe. Does this make sense? 24/7 free access to the God of all the universe. No office hours, no busy signal, and He never gets tired of being with me. This is the greatest phone line ever established, and it's available to every believer. How? Well, Jesus Christ prepaid it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Also, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Let's put this verse back into its context and discover why it's such an incredible prize. Our text presents five elements of the Christian life. First, the plan of grace, verses 8 through 11. Of Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Lord uses these weak vessels. And why? Well, because they magnify His glory. Paul considered it an honor to be chosen. Wow. Some honor. Preach the riches of Christ. Reveal the mystery of the ages. Empower the church to confront spiritual forces. Fulfill the eternal purpose of God. God considered us significant enough to do this in service to Him. So, the plan of grace. Second, the prize of access. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. What do we call this access? Well, prayer. God commissioned believers to a large task, spreading the gospel. In support, He gave us unrestricted access to Himself. I always remember my in the computer company, my boss's open door for his managers. Anytime we needed to talk to him, we could come up, poke our head in, knock on the door, and he would call us in. We always had access to Him. God provides all we can ever need to accomplish His assigned tasks. And then third, the pain of service. Verse 13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's a matter of focus on the product rather than on the process. Not that the end justifies the means, but that enduring the pain for a purpose makes it more bearable. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes God's will is by the path of suffering. And sometimes He appears to smash our hopes. John chapter 12, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Unless you're willing to die to self, to deal with pride, you can never really learn to live. This is the reason so many Christians accomplish so little for Christ. And then fourth, the prayer of growth, verses 14 and 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness, with all the fullness of God. Now, here's a prayer for saints, that they are strengthened with spiritual might, that they're rooted and grounded in love, that they understand the vastness of God's love, and that they be filled with the fullness of God. Spiritual growth is the goal of the Holy Spirit's presence. God has planned a significant life for us. And then fifth, the power of surrender, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. He will lead us into all truth, and He will keep us in God's plan. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. God wants us to have spiritual vision. Why do most Christians not see their inheritance? Because of spiritual bondage. So many believers are not free from the past. Who's in control? Me or the Holy Spirit? Well, we read verse 20. According to the power that works in us, Jesus is Lord of all, or not at all. God demands nothing less than total surrender. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. This is the context of verse 12. Free access to your Father, Heavenly Father, a private audience with God, communication available 24/7, and permanent installation for the rest of your life. Still, many believers only visit God's throne during crisis situations. A 911 call characterizes much of the church's prayer activity. Neil Anderson wrote, "In the ballgame of life, prayer must be a first down huddle for direction, not a fourth down punting situation. Even when we don't know what to pray." Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Let me close with this story. The 60-story John Hancock Tower in Boston is a magnificent piece of architecture, but it also is plagued by one of the most mysterious problems in skyscraper history. Shortly after its completion in 1972, literally dozens of its windows began popping out. 4 by 11 foot panes of glass came hurtling earthward and shattered on the street below. The life insurance company, attempting to remedy the situation, replaced all 10,334 windows with 400-pound sections of half-inch tempered glass, but the windows kept popping out. The mystery remains unsolved to this day, and windows continue to fall. The solution? 2 permanent guards now stand watch on the sidewalk. Their sole responsibility is to peer constantly upward and spot the cracked panes before they tumble to the ground. As Christians, we are called by God to be constantly alert. The world in which we live can be very dangerous. Temptations are constantly falling toward us, threatening to smash into our lives and destroy us. One of the ways God protects us is by prayer. We, like those guards, should always be looking up toward the Father for wisdom and strength to serve Him in this fallen world. I would call you to commit to a consistent prayer life. You think about that, and you have a great day.